Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm Jonathan Friedman, and joining us in the studio is Joe Piantedosi of Piantedosi Breads. Joe, welcome.
Thank you, Jonathan. Nice to be here.
I hope I got that close to right.
You did actually pronounce it very well. I mean, surprisingly, most people...
Well, I'm a big fan of your products, we talked a little bit before we came on air, and I know you've been in before, but tell us a little bit what's going on in your now fourth-generation company.
Yeah, fourth generation has entered the building, as we say. We had our 100th year 2 years ago. In 1916, my grandfather started the company.
Congratulations. No small feat.
Thanks, yeah. So to be a family business, it's tough, and to survive and to thrive, basically. But today we have, there's three of us that own the company, technically, myself and my two cousins that are brothers. And the two of them have three sons between them. And they all are in their 20s. Actually, one, I think, just hit 30. And my son, we only have boys between us, which is interesting. I am one and only.
Good bloodline.
Exactly. is a freshman in college. And I think he may be going into the business. He's working there part-time now. But it's great to see it carry on another generation and see some of the ideas they're bringing to the table, which is great to see. You know, they... a whole different philosophy, and it's just interesting, and I kind of relate it back to when I started full-time, and I had my dad and my two uncles there, and, you know, of course, they being much older and more conservative in their beliefs and growth interests.
Now they look at you as the guy who's conservative
exactly.
In his beliefs. And
Well, I like to think it's funny. My two cousins are a few years older than me, and I kind of like to think I'm the intermediary here, because I sit there, and I'll look at my two cousins and say, oh, my God, you remind me of your dad. You know, they just shake, oh, no, we can't do that. And I'm like, no, let's better pursue that. That's an interesting concept. And geez, well, if we sat here and talked down every idea that, you know, came along, we wouldn't be anywhere, you know. So it's
But it keeps you fresh and keeps
exactly.
it innovative. And,
yep.
You know, you don't survive for 100 plus years by not yep. being innovative.
Exactly.
So we were talking a little before we came on air. There's been some, obviously, shifts in the way people eat and you know, ingredients. And you guys have always been natural.
Yeah, we try to be, well, you know, people use the word organic a lot and all that. We're as natural as we can be. We eliminated anything that's artificial in our ingredients. And even we sell internationally, actually. And it's interesting. There are certain ingredients that aren't allowed in the West Coast or different states. So we wanted to be able to sell our bread everywhere. And there were certain dough enhancers or just ingredients that we were very proactive years ago and just started eliminating and replacing with all natural stuff. So, you know, we still hold that true to today, and we put no preservatives in the product, everything natural. We use versions of vinegar and things that we have seen to prolong shelf life.
So is that a big part of the business, is the science behind it to try and preserve things? Because
Baking bread is a real science. People don't realize. I mean, it's you're dealing with a living organism with yeast.
Right.
Yeast is alive and active, and every day is a different challenge to make bread. And
you know, impacted by weather and humidity
exactly,
and
weather,
conditions.
Humidity,
and
absolutely, climate, water. And even if we took our formulations and went to a different state, climate, altitude has a lot to do with it. And you'd produce different product with the same recipe, same formulations, in different states. In making specialty products, I mean, you could make a white loaf, an American bread, as we talked about earlier, and that's pretty generic. I mean,
okay.
But if you get into some specialty products, they always say that the best breads are in the Northeast. You hear the best pizzas, best bagels
right.
are in New York, and I think it has a lot to do with it's the altitude.
It's the water.
Water has a lot to do with it.
Oh, interesting. And is water something that you enhance in any way? Is it filtered? Is it?
Well, we filter our water, but you just
not to give away any of your secret sauce here.
No, our water is filtered, but you get to realize like the salt content, natural salt content in some states, mm-hmm. Chloride, mm-hmm. And even just hard water versus soft water. I mean, it's amazing. And I've always heard that New York City has the best water, and it really does. I mean, tap water is phenomenal, and it just, I mean, I think the Northeast just has better water at least for making bread and pizza and that type of thing. So it's
may have to do with the fact that we get to, you know, 0 degrees in the winter. Exactly, and it keeps the, or, you know, kills off the bad organisms, keeps the good ones alive.
Exactly,
So you guys have expanded your offerings, and you offer, you know, I don't know, countless types of breads today. But you did, what fascinates me is you say international. So you actually ship your product, which a lot of people think of as a fresh product.
Yeah.
But you freeze it and par bake it and
And then freeze it. Yeah, we deal with a lot of restaurant chains, and the chains realize the importance. Have come to realize the importance of consistency in bread. I mean, the idea of a chain is, if you're in, no matter what state or even a different country, you mean people like to go to places they feel comfortable or familiar with, and they're not going to risk and go to a place that they may get sick, they may not like the food, or, you know. So chains are real important. And, you know, you go to a chain from the north, the East Coast to the West Coast, and they look the same. Their layout's the same, the furnishing's the same, the menu's the same. And pretty much they buy most of the ingredients the same. Bread, like I said, it varies from state to state. So you could, if it's the sandwich that you're getting, and if it's bread made in the Northeast versus the Southwest,
the consistency change, totally different. Sweetness of the bread, or what have you,
and texture and everything. So a lot of chains realize that they want consistency in bread as well. So it's helped us, and
all of it is produced in the Northeast.
All produced at our plants in Malden, Mass, and we flash freeze and ship frozen. We keep it in a holding freezer after it's flash frozen, shipped out in a frozen trailer to frozen warehouses, distributors like Sysco, U.S. Food, Gordon, Food Service.
It's fascinating how you mentioned chain restaurants and restaurants in general. And I find one of the things, if you're a bread lover, you can go away, you can have a great meal, you can have a lousy meal, but you often remember a great bread.
But it's true.
And I think in many cases, you know, you sit down at a restaurant, you get hungry. Right. And the first thing they bring you is the bread. And so that can have a tremendous impact on your experience in the restaurant.
Exactly. It's the first thing you encounter in most restaurants that serve bread. Or if you're getting a sandwich, I mean, you could have the best quality meat and sauces and produce in this sandwich, but if the bread isn't good, I mean, that's the overall package of the sandwich, you know, and that's important.
So in terms of the line expansion, and you talked about food service, talked about restaurant, is that something that's constantly evolving in terms of the product?
Well, we're trying to be innovative, come up with new items as often as we can. I like to call us the little big company, because we're small enough to customize but large enough to do volume. So we have an R&D department, a team that will go out and work with chefs from different restaurant chains and collaborate and design products that would work, you know?
And so some of them have unique product for their restaurant or their market.
We've added weird, if you will, ingredients such as beer and ale, and we partner with some of the beer companies and a lot of the restaurants that are taverns or bars or
cheese
pubs.
Bread.
Cheese bread. But we actually, one thing, we don't put cheese in our bread because we're very strict with allergens. Mm. So it actually went kosher parv.
Really? And so no lactose either?
We put no dairy in our product. Hmm. And it's, as a salesperson, it upsets me because I'd love to see cheese bread. Hmm. We've taken nuts away from all of our product.
Really? So nut-free?
It's safer today. And today's, and the fact that we are, you know, international, it just makes it easier. And, you know, the amount of people with allergies and even deadly allergies is amazing. Even though it's a small percentage, I mean, you'd hate to have somebody get sick.
And I think it's growing substantially. It seems to be.
It seems to be. Really, I mean, growing up, I mean, you never heard that. And now it's like more people have EpiPens. But, you know, we err, you know, to be cautious and safe. So we're totally, we've eliminated allergens and
Any movement into, I know one of the big trends, gluten. Any movement towards that?
To be gluten-free, you have to have a total separate facility. Flour in the air can contaminate. So we don't have the room or the space at this point. You know, it's kind of funny. Things come up over the years, like no carb, low carb, all that stuff. Right. We stayed away from it. And everyone said, oh, it's going to kill your business. It's going to, you know, the low carb or no carb phase. And it just, I mean, people like hamburgers and like sandwiches, they're not going to stray from it. I mean, right. There are people that went on the Atkins diet or, you know, to this day still stay away from carbs and they feel better and healthier. Well, great.
Right.
And you may be allergic to it. But
in the grand scheme, it's a small segment.
Exactly.
And it's something that you guys have stuck with your right. proverbial knitting and,
yep.
and it works well.
Yep. As long as we, like I said, we keep it allergy free, you know, but as far as gluten free or carb free, we don't do that at all. And one area that we're pursuing, I started to tell you, is retail. You know, we've been in and out of retail for years, and we get constant requests for it. I mean, mostly we're a food service bakery, so we sell restaurants, caterers, hotels, colleges, schools, etc. But the markets we have sold product in have been well received, and customers love it. So the past maybe 6 months or so, we've really put a bigger push on retail. So we now have products in some of the markets, and that seems to be going well. We have one item in Stop and Shop. We partnered with Khaleesi, a bakery out of Rhode Island. They have a great distribution network. We do a classic French roll. Hmm. So we do an 8-pack French roll that Khaleesi is now servicing 200 Stop and Shops with, which is right in the wow. deli section. Mm-hmm. And we've since gone into the Wegmans. Now there's a... We have a few Wegmans that are near us.
A little bit of growth going on there.
Exactly. Yeah. They're doing phenomenal. And Hannaford, we're in, and we're in some Market Baskets, another company that's been around for a long time, family business.
Yep.
But they're doing well, and they're growing. And,
oh, wonderful.
So we're you know, dealing a little bit with more in retail. And our customers are happy because they're able to purchase our product.
So it's interesting. I would imagine, and I think sometimes, you know, to the people that are not in the industry, they might think of it as a commodity product. But it right. really isn't, right? Because you're yeah. putting, you know, a lot of experience
commodity price, pretty funny. And I've even had discussions with one of my partners about that in the company. You know, we're a specialty company. I mean, bread, I hate to use the word I mentioned earlier, an edible napkin. I mean, if you go out and buy a loaf of standard white bread or wheat bread in the supermarket that's made by a white bread manufacturer, it really has no taste, no flavor. That is a commodity right. item. I mean, even the hot dog roll, the hamburger roll, I mean, they're pretty much basic and generic or commodity items. I mean, we like to have more specialty breads, and we have about 40 different varieties of hamburger rolls.
Oh, wow.
And they all have different flavors or twists or some with seeds, some with a different type of seed or whatever. And it's not your basic, you know,
right.
commodity type roll. So... You know, but we do that too. We'll do everything from the basic to the more.
But it seems to me that where you're providing the differentiator, if you will, or the value add to your customer base is you can either develop something for them. But again, you're back to the artisanry of
right.
of producing bread. It's
exactly.
not, you know, as you said, it's not like biting into a napkin. It's,
right, exactly.
It's got flavor, it's got texture, it's right. got, you know.
And one thing we take pride in, our bread holds juicy substances real well.
You feel good.
Exactly. And our bread isn't heavy. And
gravy to the last drop.
Right. And I had a sales guy that worked for us down in Florida that on sales calls, I would cringe thinking, oh my God, this isn't going to work. It's going to be embarrassing. He would take a glass of water in one of our hamburger rolls and actually pour the glass of water in the roll, pick up the roll, even hand it to a potential customer and say, see, this will,
it absorbs. It.
And I mean, so how many times have you eaten a burger where halfway through the burger, the bread disappears?
Right, it falls apart, disintegrates.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
is that a function of the natural ingredients in it, or
it's our recipes, our formulation. I mean, we have a high moisture content in our bread. Our cell structure is tight enough that it'll just hold the juicy juices, the natural juices of a burger.
The bounty of breads,
exactly. and I mean, I think and our bread is unique too, and it doesn't overpower a sandwich. I mean, it really complements. I've eaten some great breads. And they're great for table breads. If you put something in it, now you almost have your taste buds fighting each other because you're tasting a bread and you're tasting what's inside the sandwich.
Right.
Whereas our bread kind of just, it's great as a table
bread. It does
what it's supposed to. Or with butter. But on the other hand, if you put something in it, it just kind of like steps back and lets the flavor of the sandwich.
Now, given that you go back, you know, you're the beginning of the third generation or part of the third generation, you know, you go back into the second generation, and obviously bread was a big part, I'm sure, around the table at your home and growing up, and there was always fresh bread. Has it changed it seems to me that the pace of change in the last you know, decade, maybe 20 years has been much more dramatic. Is our taste changing much more rapidly than they once did, or is that?
Yeah, I think our consumers, we the people, I think are smarter or more aware of what's out there. Mm. I mean, you know, you don't have to just, you know, take for granted that's bread. I need a loaf of bread, and I'll just buy whatever's there.
Right.
I mean, that's just not. It's like with any ingredient. You go in and if you want to buy a bottle of soda. I mean, how many variations of even Coke,
right,
you hate
right.
to say it. I mean, between the size bottle, liter, you know, on right. up and glass, plastic, can.
Never make the mistake of going to the grocery store with your wife giving you a generic order.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because the there's 4,000 options.
Exactly. So. And I just think it's today's world in which we live. I mean, our main plant now in Malden, we moved in 75, and I think we opened the doors making four items.
Hmm.
And
today?
Now it's about 400 items.
Wow.
Because my father would be rolling in his grave if he knew how many we were making at this point. But you just have to
adapt.
The customer's
to the market,
right, and you
right.
have to appease the customer. And you know, you might make a great product, and someone will say, geez, can you make it smaller? Can you make it bigger? Can you make it this way or that way? Can it be tweaked? And that's been to our advantage. Some of the bigger companies can't really do that. You know, yep. we're able to
you get to what customize, they got. You get
right.
what they've got.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
And we'll customize and also produce volume, which is great. But I just think it's but I also think there's been a resurgence of what's old is now new again. And it seemed like with fast food in, you know, 70s, 80s, I think white bread was pretty much the staple.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, I would say 90s and even beyond, now flavors and crusty breads. I mean, years ago, I remember we talked about
it's hard
Florida.
To get a crusty bread.
Right. Well, they maintain the crustiness of
okay.
it. But I remember going to Florida, you know, as a kid back in the 70s and 80s, and everything was soft, and they didn't want crusty bread. And now,
right.
The restaurants we talked about in Florida, you don't see.
Right, you get a decent bread.
You get decent bread. And
well, it's only because you guys are getting your distribution down there.
Well,
now.
We ship down there too, but it's just, you know, the customers are more aware and they want.
Right,
I mean,
they want
buyers in the restaurants, but their customers are sharp and their foodies are big. I know you guys even do a food show now, and it's just people are into the quality and you know.
Yeah. Well, fascinating stuff. I wish you continued success for the next 100 years. Hopefully you're
going
to stick around and make that happen. And,
we'll
interesting to have the next generation. Always fascinating to hear your story. If anybody's in the industry, either a restaurant or food service, et cetera, and they want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to reach you, Jim?
We have a website, and actually we have a new website that's actually being launched in about a week or so, I guess. And it's piantonosi.com. And our main number at the company is 781-321-3400. You'll get connected to customer service. They can refer you, answer any question you may have, or if you're a restaurant or opening up a restaurant and want to see a sales rep with some product, we're happy to come out and meet with you and or have you in and give you a tour and do a presentation right in our facility. So
excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming into Radio Entrepreneurs again, sharing the story, and wonderful to see the family business continue, and wish you continued success.
Appreciate
and great expansion.
Thank
our guest on Radio Entrepreneurs has been Joe Piantedosi of Piantedosi Breads and Bakery
baking
Items
company,
and
yeah.
Baking Company, and celebrating 102 years.
Yep.
So wish you continued success, and we'll be right back with another segment on Radio Entrepreneurs.